Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You know, I fell in love with Brenda looking at her eyes.
Nice.
I fall in love with quarterbacks watching their eyes. And you see it.
There's his soul right there.
There it is. You see it. You love it.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Which team has the tools to stop their team from...
Yeah.
Going down the drain. The San Francisco 49ers, and it's really just about one tool, and that tool is Christian McCaffrey. Although I'm going to use a lot of tools to describe it. He's a guy that can demolish you on the inside. He can spin you around on the outside. And that's how we send it to Stacey Nails in Chicago.
Wow.
Any other way she'd want to take it from us.
What a segment.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. The segment is also brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
Oh, we're brutal, man. It was
I feel like we're doing this every week.
Yeah, I mean, they're not supposed to lose games like that, but they find a way. Look, Matt Eberflus is 5-17 in one-score games, and he hasn't always had the talent. But we very much feel, as a show, that he should have tried to get closer before that field goal attempt. Because Cairo Santos is a notoriously low trajectory kicker, and the Packers knew that and schemed for that. The players said it after the game specifically.
LaFleur said
they were banking on a block, that their special teams coach Bisaccia had said it. So we've been pounding the head coach for that, and a tweet from you seems to disagree with that. So I wanted to let you comment on that, sir.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with it. I mean, I even said in my tweet, I would have tried to get more yards. But the automatic thing that we do when we second guess these situations or we know the result is we automatically think if they hand the football off, they gain yards. That's not always the case in these situations where you know the other team knows you're going to hand the football off and they're coming after you, and now all of a sudden you lose a yard or two and have a negative play, and maybe you already know that your kicker has a low trajectory, so the further away they are. And so we take the safe approach or the conservative approach instead of trying to be a little bit more aggressive because it could also hurt us. I get it. I would have handed the football off too and tried to run my best play in hopes that we would have gained yards as well, as long as I felt confident if we lost a couple yards, my kicker could still make it. But I'm just saying, this is one of those situations to me, like, we're piling on because of other situations and we're piling on because of the after effect, when to me, this isn't one that you pile on. We've seen hundreds of coaches play the conservative route when you get to this point and you get into the field goal range just because you don't want something negative to happen. And I mean, let's be honest, they've seen a bunch of negative stuff happen to them already. So why is it not okay for the coach to go, man, I've seen this before. Every time I try to do something, it goes against us. So how about we just play the conservative route and we believe in our kicker and we know that he can make it. He's a good kicker. And let's just put it in his hands and just, you know, take some of that risk out of it. And now we're going to kill him because, well, you should have taken more risk in this situation. And you should have. I'm just saying, this is one of those situations where I get it. I would have done it differently, But I just think it's one of those, like, we're piling on simply because of other factors, not necessarily this one, because we've seen enough teams do it and run it and hand it off, and it works out negatively. And I'm definitely not going to throw it in that situation because too many bad things can happen. And so, yeah, you hand it off, maybe you lose a couple yards, and then what are we saying? Now, like, I don't think he's going to win in this situation because they didn't execute the kick. The kick was too low. Could have been a penalty called as well. When I watched it initially, I'm like, shouldn't that be a penalty with them running over the top of the snapper like that? Or what am I missing from a rule standpoint?
Yeah.
I think there was a number of factors there that I just don't think this is the one to pile on or just say, oh, he's a terrible coach because he didn't hand it off there. I just think that was the safe conservative route. And we can, you know, say what we would have done differently after the fact, but I just don't think it was one that we pile on for.
I will say though, Kurt, and I get, because you're not in the room with us and we're not in the room with you, that you see it as second guessing when a lot of people were first guessing on it. That's point number one. Point number two, the reason that we use all of those things, all of those data points when we're talking about Matt Eberflus is because we have seen him do similar things before in games, and it's cost him. And to break it down, like inside of this game, I thought for the most part, he did a great job in this game of actually taking risk and being rewarded in the game. 3-of-3 on fourth down, 9-of-16 on third down. They were actually moving the ball when they wanted to. And so him being risk averse in that moment, it felt like it went against what the rhythm of the game had been and how they had been successful earlier in the game.
And I hear all of that. But what I'm saying is that he also knows he's in an absolute no-win situation unless the kicker kicks it through the uprights. Like, it doesn't matter that, you know, because of all these other things, that's what I'm saying. If he hands it off there and loses 2 yards, what are you guys going to be saying today? If it loses 2 yards and it gets blocked, just like it did, tell me what everybody's going to be saying today. Like, they're going to get on him because he handed the football off and they called the wrong play or what? Like, I'm just saying, I think he understands that too. And right or wrong, right? You want him to coach in the moment and based on that. But do you think there's any part of his mind going, oh my gosh, what do I do in this situation now? You know, do I go with my gut and hand it off or throw the football here and try to get closer? But everything else that's gone against me this year, if we do that and something negative happens, I'm crushed for it. So I just think, again, that's why I mean piling on, because to your point, it was, I'm going to base this decision off of everything else that's happened, as opposed to just looking at this decision and going, okay, it's not the worst decision in the world, that we just made play it safe and we trust our kicker and we believe he's going to make it through. And it's just what many coaches have done over the years is play conservative in that situation. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. And now I might just walk over to the middle of the field simply to just set the kicker up in a better position, but not handing it off and running and trying to gain extra yards there.
I hear you. I just think
this is one of those that we're piling on based on other situations, which are valid arguments in other situations. I just don't think this one is as clear cut as we're trying to make it simply because it was blocked.
That's fair. And we can agree to disagree on it. What want to ask you a couple things about the new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, and some things that happened in this game yesterday. The time to throw stat for Caleb Williams was his fastest of the season, 2.62. And even just by the eye test, everything was coming out quicker. He was also under center on early downs 36% of the time. That's a season high and twice the Bears' rate for the season. So that's just some stats that we can look at. Wanted to know what you thought about the different approach that Thomas Brown took with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. I thought it was very similar to what I've seen him do most of the year, just in terms of the plays were exactly the same. I've seen a number of times where Caleb has got the ball out quick. I mean, the stat was thrown around all last week. You know, one of the top quarterbacks in the league when the ball comes out quick. Yeah, he was throwing it to his first guy, you know, most of the game. You know, so it's just one of those where I think sometimes we see these things happen where a change is made or a guy is reinserted into the starting lineup and the game goes really well for them. And we automatically think, oh my gosh, the guy's a, you guys are a better player than he was before, or, you know, the coach is better than the last coach. And I think sometimes games just play out better for you. And those little nuances may have created that and made it play out better. I just think the situation played out better yesterday in terms of getting the ball out to the first guy being open a lot of times yesterday and things happening. Now, the one thing I will say is, I thought it was the most comfortable that I saw Caleb play. And by that, you know, you saw the runs. You saw, you know, the quick decisions to, oh, I don't like the read. I'm going to go create and play fluid and play fast. And so that was definitely something that I saw different for Caleb. Now the question I ask is, why was that the case? Because it wasn't different plays. You know, it wasn't things that he hadn't been running all year. Why was he more fluid? And so, you know, I asked myself different questions that, you know, I had heard some things a week ago, and I don't know how valid they were, but, you know, I've seen this happen before. I've seen it happen, you know, in my situation. I've seen it happen with, you know, my son who plays quarterback, that sometimes it can be easy for a coach to give the quarterback all kinds of answers. Okay, if they come up and show this pressure, well, just change the protection and slide over here and pick it up. Or if the defense does this, just kill the play to this other play and we'll be successful. So they give the quarterback all the tools, so to speak, to be able to answer all the questions that are out there. But sometimes it's really hard to answer those questions in the moment. Like, oh my gosh, they got all kinds of guys walked up. I don't really know where I should change the protection. I'm not either there yet, or it's a too tough of a look to know exactly who's coming. Or, okay, you know, they come up and you give me the tools to change the play, but I don't really know if I should change it here or what exactly I should change it to. And so it's easy for us to sit in the back and go, well, he had all the tools to get us into the right play or to change the protection so he wasn't hot there. He just didn't use them. And then there's times where you have to step back and go, but is he capable of using all the tools that you gave him at this particular point? So if that was maybe something that was going on, was they were giving him tools, but he was overloaded with the tools. Did they pull back on that this past week? And did they say, we're going to call a play, go run the play and execute the play. And if you don't have it, take off and run or create or get the ball out of your hands or move on to the progression. Don't overthink the things that are out there. And like, I'll use an example, and I don't know if I've shared it with you guys before, but so, you know, I won two MVPs in St. Louis playing football, right? And then I get released and I go to the New York Giants. And when I got to the New York Giants, what they had me do every time before the snap was point out the mic. You know, heard people do that before, right? I got to go up there and I got to tell everybody who the mic linebacker is on every play. Now, for me, I never did that in St. Louis because to me, the Mike linebacker is the Mike linebacker 99% of the time. He's the middle linebacker. And, you know, unless something crazy happens and then you could switch it and you always have that ability. But I didn't want to waste my time going up and trying to tell everybody who the Mike was because we all should know who the Mike was. But I went to New York and they asked me to do that. So I would spend way more time than I ever had in my life looking at the linebackers and trying to make sure that when the ball was snapped, I had pointed out the exact guy that was the Mike linebacker who was the Mike linebacker most of the time. But I spent a lot of my time thinking about the front seven instead of focusing on the back end where I really needed to be focused. So then the ball snapped and I'm like, okay, now let me get my eyes to the back end and let me make sure I verify everything that's going on. And even as a guy that had played really well in this league and at a high level, it slowed me down in terms of how I wanted to play the game. I was thinking about things that I didn't want to be thinking about. It didn't need to be thinking about. So that's just kind of one example of, you know, now you may have a young quarterback in Chicago and you're overloading him with information that he can't use or he doesn't need to use. And you're making him overthink instead of just play. And that was the biggest thing that I felt yesterday, was it felt like Caleb was just playing football again, and it wasn't perfect, and he didn't see every read and get through every progression, but he just seemed to be playing fluid and fast and comfortable. And so I just asked myself, what was the difference? Did they take some of those tools off his plate, saying, forget it, just go out and be yourself and play ball and have fun again, and let's see if it will look different? And it looked different.
Some great insight from Kurt Warner, who joins us here on Spiegel and Holmes. There's another part, a layer to this, that we were wondering if you could break down for us and tell us if it's important or not.
I think it might be connected to what he's talking about.
I do too, but I want to hear what Kurt has to say about this, because Caleb mentioned something about Thomas Brown and how the operation of the offense was a little different. Kurt, take a listen to this.
Thomas, right after right after one of the guys go down on a run or one of the guys catch a pass and go down, Thomas is like right on the mic. And then we'll have about 30 seconds on the clock and get in the huddle 30 to 25, and then you break the huddle around 20.
Sort of that a little thing that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think all things like that, all little things tend to be large in big moments.
So what do you think about that? The fact that they seemingly were getting plays into Caleb earlier, could that make a difference in why we saw him look better?
It can make a huge difference. I mean, just the fact of not rushing up to the line and having to, you know, getting the opportunity to kind of see what the defense is doing. You know, also, let's think this is a rookie quarterback. The more time you get to think about a play and visualize the play, or think about, hey, what am I looking for here? What's the most important thing? What if the coverage, you know, does this? Like, the more time you have to think about anything, the more comfortable you're going to be. I mean, if, you know, I had to tell you guys, like, you're coming out of break and it's, you know, 10-9-8, and I'm saying, hey, we're going to talk about this right when you get out of break. Okay, go. Like, you know, your mind is automatically going to be overloaded. Like, oh, okay, we're going to talk about, like, what am I going to say about, and you're going fast. And so anytime you could do that, and now I can go up to line of scrimmage and I got 15 seconds to take a deep breath, to eye what I want to see, you know, again, I can go back to that mic call. Right. If I can make the mic call with 15 seconds to go, and then I get another 10 or 12 seconds to eye the secondary and the coverage and what's going on, you know, send my guy in motion, all that stuff. Man, there's times you're running up to the line and going, oh, shoot, we got a motion called here. OK, hey, you get in position. Don't motion. Just get set up over here. And now I got to snap it. I don't even know what the mic was. Like, I don't even know what coverage they're in, because we're playing too fast and we're not giving that guy the opportunity to see what he wants, or to take that deep breath, or think through the concept on a particular play. So, yes, that time that you can have is extremely important to be able, as a quarterback, to think through all the things you have to think through so you can play once the ball is snapped.
Kurt, a few weeks back when they played the Rams and Matthew Stafford, it kind of looked like Caleb was being asked to do everything that Stafford was doing. And we watched that and we're like, wow, look, he's going up the line. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's choosing this. He's choosing that. And we celebrated that. Maybe we were wrong to celebrate that a responsibility being put on a rookie quarterback.
I mean, guys, every situation is different. So, again, I do enough of these, so I apologize to the listeners of you guys if I've already shared this story. But, you know, I think about the way that I played the game. And then I think about the way that Peyton Manning played the game. Peyton Manning was the best pre-snap quarterback that I've ever seen. Seeing things, understanding the tendencies of defenses, changing the play, getting into the right play before the snap, all of that stuff is where he was even better than after the snap. He was great before the snap. I was exactly the opposite, where I didn't want to overthink things beforehand. I wanted to get up and play fast and dictate to the defense, hey, we're going to run this play. And then my job was to take in all that information after the fact and then do the right thing with it. And that was where I was so good. That 3 or 4 seconds after the snap, I could see it. I knew what we were going to do. I knew where to go with the football. And we dictated that to the defense, where Peyton did it the opposite way. And so I say that because here's two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that had really good careers, but they did it completely differently. You know, I worked with a quarterback that had actually been in the room with Peyton Manning. And I remember, you know, asking him to get up on the board at times when we were working together and breaking down plays. And he would take 4 minutes to break down this play and say, hey, well, if they do this, then I'm going to do that. And if they do this, I'm going to do that. And all I could get in my mind was after, you know, watching him on, you know, film and playing games and stuff and hearing him talk was he's trying to be Peyton Manning, but he's not Peyton Manning. He's trying to think like Peyton Manning, but it takes him 4 minutes to do what Peyton Manning could do in 4 seconds. And so when he got out there to play, he was playing slower and he was all out of sorts because he was overthinking everything and his mind didn't work like that. And so I say all that for you to come to that point of going, okay, he's doing what Matthew Stafford is doing. And one side of that could be awesome to go, oh, maybe that's who Caleb is. He's got this knowledge. He can do all of this stuff. He can change plays and he can do and he can play before the snap. And he's really good at that. And that is a plus. And that is something we should celebrate if you've got a quarterback that can do that and what that means for a football team. But maybe he's Kurt Warner type quarterback where he needs to play and react. And that's where he's at his best. And he doesn't need to overthink it. He can react and process information better than he can try to see and pick up nuance and play slower before the snap. So we can celebrate that as well, but we need to figure out who our guy is, what he does best, what he does that will help us to be the most successful. And then let's play to those strengths, understanding that you can be great like Peyton Manning, or you can be great like Kurt Warner. You don't have to be great in just one way. And so that to me is so important when I watch guys play is to know who are they? What are their strengths? What gives them the best chance to play to those strengths, you know, in terms of how we're going to scheme or build or play offensively? And that's what we should do. Even if we're running the exact same plays, that's what we should do because that's what's going to make us our best. And I think that's always an important trait.
Kurt, terrific football conversation. Thanks so much for joining us. Even when we disagree, I always find you really insightful. Thanks for the time today, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Kurt. Those last 5 to 6 minutes or whatever, the stuff about him in New York, All of a sudden having to identify the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker, when it wasn't how he didn't do that and with the Rams, and then that stuff there at the end, that is from an informed perspective. He began the New York example with, you know, I heard some stuff last week, you know, and I think he heard what we had heard, what became the consensus, as we talked about on Friday, Lawrence, that Caleb had been asked to do too much this year. They put too much on the rookie quarterback, and they tried to have him, you know, step in and be some uber veteran reader of all things pre-snap. And even though he can do some of it, it was too much to ask, and it muddled his mind, and it made him play without rhythm. And now we're seeing a better guy with things simplified.
Maybe. Like, I'm still not convinced because, you know, as the mayor of Worrytown, you worry about what happens next. How, if we would have more time, that's what I wanted to ask Kurt about. Like, looking at the Vikings and looking at Brian Flores, how do they, are they playing aggressive press man next week to try to stop some of that? Are they playing zone to try to stop? Like, it's really interesting. I want to keep seeing it.
Yeah, you can't until next week, but I understand what you're saying.
You know, because it was very cool.
Also, violation on a mini page turn 2 days before the page turn.
Sorry. Yeah, that's on me.
My God.
He's just peeking.
I'm not allowed to peek. I've been told flat out not to peek.
Sometimes you want to figure out how much more you got to read for the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal.
What's very good for careful, folks. We are in divisional play, so every segment could be a possible page turn.
It's true.
You know, you got to be careful out here.
By the way, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We're going to talk about Matt Eberflus being coached by a guy that wasn't even in the same game with him next on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
just your general thoughts on a win like that.
Great win! Great team win.
It was awesome. JK was incredible. The touchdown run, the run in the early in the second half, that ended up setting up the field goal. I mean, that was a no gain or a 1 yard loss and spun out of it Walter Payton style.
You could have had a Harbaugh.
Boy, that's insulting.
Very much so.
Walter Payton. Yeah, we know who that is. Thanks, buddy. Talking about J.K. Dobbins that way. I think Tanny just loved the enthusiasm of that.
I think Tanny loved the petty in that, too.
He's just, Harbaugh's a major loon.
I just love all of it.
He's also, just your general thoughts on a win like that.
Great win!
It was a great win.
He's also very good at coaching football.
He really
is. At whatever level and whatever place he's at.
Man. You know, people laughed at me.
You could have had a bad bitch.
You could have had a bad bitch. I like Greg Roman. I like what Greg Roman does. I know it might have its limitations, and Lamar outgrew him. I get it. But, man, everywhere he goes and everything, every place he goes, all of a sudden the run schemes look real good. The offensive line plays tough as hell. Quarterback seems to be pretty well protected. I like it.
So, if you're wondering, hey, why are you guys talking about Jim Harbaugh? Maybe you didn't stay up and watch the Sunday night game because you were too upset. But what happened in the Sunday night game is that with the Chargers down and having an hour tied with an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah.
With less than 45 seconds left.
Because they were in range, right? They were in game-winning field goal range.
They absolutely were in range, Spiegs. They were in range at the 29-yard line of Cincinnati.
For Cameron Dicker, the kicker.
Yes. They could have just said, we're going to kneel down here and we're going to just kick the ball. That's not what they chose to do. In the last example of football last night.
The most recent one.
The most recent example that we have, when a coach had an opportunity to further get the ball down farther, he did this.
Charger fans are used to something else. What you kind of wink and say, chargering, where they had a game and they blew it over and over. And this is a chance for them to reverse it, a game they were blowing, to come back and escape with a win at the last minute.
And now all they can do is sit and watch on the Bengals sideline.
Matlock, the fullback, in front of J.K. Dobbins, runs left. Dobbins takes off. Dobbins inside the 10. Dobbins to the end zone. In for the touchdown. And the Chargers take the lead. After watching the Bengals score 21 in a row, walk it down the field to take the lead.
When it was on the line, when that toughness that is needed to close out games with the running game is needed most, he dials it up and they take it in.
That's courtesy of NBC. So something good can also happen when you play aggressive football.
Did you hear Chris Collinsworth saying, go down, go down?
Yeah, I heard that.
He wanted him to go down and then what? Kneel down for a couple plays?
Yeah.
Is that what he wanted?
And kick the field goal, which I understand. I understand that because you're not leaving your opponent any time on the clock.
Yeah.
I get that.
And Burrow did drive it down a little bit, but just a little.
He sure did, Speed.
Yeah, then they had a...
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Oh, thank you.
Because Cincinnati...
I watched the game. You're welcome.
Cincinnati did move the ball back down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up in a space where theoretically they could make a Hail Mary.
Oh, so they could make a Hail Mary. So let me guess, because even though I did watch it. The Chargers, they were taunting, right? One of the Chargers players was like hyping up the crowd and not paying attention. And
Derwin James was moonwalking out of the tunnel.
I figure that. And the head coach was like, that's fine. I'm good with that. We're okay.
No, that's not what happened.
Guy's not paying attention. We don't need him to win this game.
What had happened was, is that before they did the Hail Mary.
Pardon me, stewardess. I speak jive.
The coach took a timeout.
Oh.
Will you get those?
You can use them there? Yeah.
Shane, it's a funny thing.
How many you have?
You get three of them.
Do they roll over to the next half?
They do not.
Well, they should use them.
If you have them, you should use them.
So on defense, before a Hail Mary, to gather his troops and make sure that everybody was on the same page, he called a timeout.
Chargers have three in the end zone. Timeout Chargers so they can set their defense. Derwin James and their Hail Mary defense lines up 8 yards deep in the end zone as the last line of defense. And now Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, Jim Harbaugh, they bring everybody over to get them all on the same page here. Mike Elston, defensive line coach there.
Would you look at that? And they had someone who was lined up 8 yards deep in the end zone.
He wasn't moonwalking, apparently, Tanny. You lied to me. You lied to me.
Well, you said you watched the game, so I thought you'd call me out.
So,
oh my God.
So there you have Jim Harbaugh, the coach that should be your coach, Matt Spiegel.
It wasn't even an option. Not even, let's not even talk.
No, he was the coach of Michigan at that time, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
He's got a job. He's the coach of Michigan.
How the H did the Chargers get him if he was coaching at Michigan at one point in time?
Who knows, Tanny? Who knows? How is it possible that someone else could hire him? And in that moment, he does, in the same minute of the game.
He does two things that are literally what your own coach has not done in two of the most horrific losses you've ever seen.
Remember the night of the draft where everyone was like, oh, Jim Harbaugh's new with the Chargers. They're just going to be rebuilding this year, but they're going to build it in his image. How are they looking now?
Looking really good at 7-3.
Remember the Bears? Oh, playoffs. Playoff team. And how are they looking now?
Yeah, and Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles built this thing from the outside in.
He did, and he built this city.
He built this city on rock and
from
roll.
From the outside in.
Shane is our official falsetto singer here on Spiegel and Holmes.
No, I haven't talked to Jim.
Ryan, why is this
the coach of Michigan?
He's the coach at Michigan.
Which would seemingly, for an NFL team that didn't have to worry about, you know, poaching someone from another college.
There's no tampering rules in that situation.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? But like you can go ahead and call a guy?
Yeah.
It's not against the rules. You could even say it out loud if you wanted to.
Absolutely could.
But they don't want to say it out loud because they don't want to crack the confidence of Matt Eberflus because he coaches like such a confident man. And it's very important. It's all connected, dude. It's all a problem, John Fox, and it's all connected. Everybody's trying to prove themselves and tell themselves that everything's okay and that they have the right people and convince themselves. I thought your point in transition was so spot on about the way that Eberflus talks about these games. Like, no, we're headed somewhere. We are headed somewhere. It's the middle of year three, sir. It's the middle of year three, and you've got some very expensive players, and we were told this is time to win. And the NFC third wild card was there for you as an option that you could go for.
It was there for you as recently as yesterday.
As yesterday. So when you tell us, oh, we have the right people in the room, we are headed in the right direction, we are building towards something, these are the games when something was supposed to have been built.
And even though Justin Herbert has prolific numbers in the NFL, when he was hired, they asked Jim Harbaugh how he was going to help make him better. I'm going to give him a run game. Would you look at that?
Yeah.
We're going to take more of your phone calls. 312-644-6767 is the number.
What if I also told you, Lawrence, you don't have to go that far to find Matt Eberflus being outcoached? If I told you that as well.
You don't have to go that far?
No, you don't even have to go to somebody who wasn't even coaching against him. You can find people who have coached against him and have said it as well.
Ooh, I like that.
Let's take some calls, though, as well.
Yeah, let's talk about all of that stuff. 312-644-6767 is the number. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. It's Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
And really just steal that ball to the perimeter. Oh,
pressure and he is dropped.
So Lawrence, real quick, Matt Eberflus outcoached by Jim Harbaugh.
They're gonna do it again?
When they weren't even playing last night. I love that. How about Matt Eberflus and Dan Quinn? We remember this from a month ago. when they saw the play before the Hail Mary very differently? You remember this?
Because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter.
The plays also leading up to it were a really big deal, because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously, to get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play.
So, doesn't matter, says Eberflus. Opposing coach says, meant everything right away. Then yesterday, this is Matt Eberflus talking about not trying to get closer for the field goal opportunity. He and Matt LaFleur, a slight change of opinion.
Rich said to our team last night, I will not understand if we come out of this game without a block, whether field goal or PAT. So, great job by our special teams coaches.
I felt very confident where we were at that time with the wind and where we were on the field.
So, yeah, no. You get closer, he can kick it a little higher. That's kind of the whole thing about a low trajectory kicker like that.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great at all. You want to talk to the people?
Let's do it.
All right. It's a Bears Monday. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Let's start with Zach. Hey, Zach, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
What's going on, guys? So, a few things. So, I thought our offense looked better. I'd like to see what he does next week, and, you know, we'll go from there. But I want to know, when in the hell are we going to get rid of Elmer Fudd as our coach? I don't get it. As soon as I saw that blocked field goal, my left arm went numb. I don't understand.
Checked.
You had 26 seconds left on the clock, two timeouts left. Give the ball to Roshan. Get a few more yards. Williams was throwing pretty decent on that drive. Give him the damn ball. I don't know what else it's going to take to get rid of this guy. I wouldn't trust this guy to teach me or coach me how to play freaking checkers. But
yeah, I don't know what kind of a checkers. I don't know what kind of a checkers coach he is.
Well, he's definitely a checkers player, not a chess one.
He's definitely not playing chess.
Correct.
How about a 10 or 15 yard out to the right side? Because Patrick Manley said that Cairo likes the right hash anyway, and you didn't even give him that. So give yourself a chance. There were 35 seconds when that play before ended. So they had 35. It's the way Mike Sando wrote it anyway. 35 seconds and a timeout to do something with. So I would have loved to see a 10 or 12 yard out on the right side.
35 seconds and
one timeout.
One timeout.
So you could have run it or you could have thrown it. Could have even thrown it twice if you wanted to.
You could have done whatever you wanted.
Whatever you wanted.
You chose to
do nothing.
Expose your underbelly and say, all right, we're just going to try and kick it and get up out of here. Hey, Connor, you're on the score.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
Good.
What's up, man?
So this season's pretty much wrapped, right? All we're in it for is, you know, just seeing how we can save Caleb and everything. So my question is, when we're looking for head coaches next year, would you guys rather go get, like, Ben Johnson and, like, another first-time head coach, or go get, like, a Kevin Stefanski or a Mike Vrabel?
Oh, you're breaking up on us.
I didn't hear the first name.
Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, Stefanski or Vrabel. So somebody who's done it before. Yeah.
I love that he's like, we have to save Caleb. Like that's where we're at. Guys, we got to go save Caleb. This season is about saving that young man.
I wasn't ready, and I'm still not ready for this turn towards next year, and this season doesn't matter. That's why I was so freaking sad yesterday. And you know what happens to sadness? It turns to anger, Lawrence. I'm trying not to do it. But that's what happens. Anybody
the lash out king over there.
I mean, that's what happens. Anybody who's yelling at you and you don't deserve it, it's because they're upset. They're actually hurt about something on the inside.
Hear that?
Therapists for the last 30 years.
So why do you keep doing it?
Not the only one, buddy. I think you have a history too.
Yeah, but I don't hide from mine.
I'm not hiding from mine. I'm right here. It's got awfully real all of a sudden. Shane, clear the room.
Who's the last person you did it to?
Me? Just now.
No, before
he did it just then.
Shut both up. Both of you guys.
Shut up, Shane.
No, I was trying to help. I'm trying to just get everything out in there.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah. See this gasoline? I'm pouring it right on the fire.
Oh.
Yeah, you are. That's your move.
Yeah.
It's one of your signature moves.
LaGrange and John. Hey, John, you're on the score.
Hey, hello, guys. I'm curious about the penalty and, like, what Patrick Manley had to say about it.
John, are you from Canada?
You... I've been told that a lot.
Well,
I travel a lot.
Okay.
I travel a lot.
Well,
spend
John,
a lot of time,
it's because you say words weird.
You said her boots.
I do say words.
Yeah.
I've been told that a lot.
Yeah.
So, okay. So look, I think the Bears, Eberflus actually spoke about it today. They're going to send the play into the league because they think Daly got hit, and that's against the spirit of the rule. Because the idea is that the long snapper's head is down, and he's supposed to be in a position to defend himself before he gets hit. But the whole side of the line got blown up, and he kind of fell with them. And Patrick had said something really interesting today, that he said that part of the problem that he had with the Bears was on those particular plays, you need to fire off the ball a little bit. He said there should be a lean to what the offensive line does instead of playing catch.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not running the ball, but there should be a lean into the defenders that wasn't there yesterday. And that those types of kicks are susceptible to it, not just because of the low trajectory, but because you know that they're going to put their best block play on. They're going to have their best personnel out there.
Uh-huh.
And those guys know that they can give 100% on that play. So you have to match them with your intensity in that moment.
I got no problem with Eberflus telling the league to look into it. It's not going to do anything.
Right.
But it does feel a little bit like he's saying the referees just simply didn't execute. They didn't execute.
So clarification on the rule. I did talk to Patrick this morning, post the post game yesterday, after he got to look at it a couple more times. And he said that the technical rule is within 1 second, you can't touch the snapper. So he thinks they didn't touch him during that 1 second. And then also the Packers defensive line, their first step was lateral. And it only applies if their first step is forward. What he has a problem with is the linebacker or the safety, whomever it was in the back of the defensive line, was pushing pressure forward. That's where the flag should have been, not the pressure on Scott Daly.
That's good stuff. I'm so glad you followed up a boot this. So glad you did that.
So sorry, Scott, but that was a weird thing to say.
And a weird
you
way
shouldn't
to
have
say
said
it.
A boot.
He's not Canadian.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
Don't call
enjoy
me
that
buddy,
syrup
friend.
In LaGrange.
Don't call me friend, pal. Don't call me pal, friend.
Grab me a donut from Tim Hortons while you're at it. Thank you.
Timbits are great.
I've never had them.
They're really good. When we come back, Mark Grody's got a Bears hit. Two words next on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.